lot of you, but I have two girls here at Thornbrook, just by way of introduction, and we've been here since kindergarten, so it's been a fun journey to get to know people and the family here at Thornbrook. Thank you. And my husband sometimes speaks in chapel, so your kids might know him, Mr. Morris, and he's doing a Ratatouille thing right now where he's playing movies and kind of trying to get spiritual truths from that. And so it was funny when Sherry emailed me to ask to help out, because I read the email again. I was like, I think she means my husband. I think she wants in to talk. And so I was like, almost emailed her back, and I think you have the wrong email address. Here's his email. And I told her no. I'm like, no, it's not my thing. I'm busy. Sorry, you're going to have to find someone else. And then after further thought about it, I'm trying to be open to what God wants. Nancy and I, my friend in the back, are doing a study called What Happens When Women Say Yes to God. And I had just said no, you know? And they're great Bible studies, but you know what kind of occurred to me? Is God transforming me? Is it just a nice Bible study, and I'm going, and I'm learning, and then I'm leaving, and my life is no different? And I think we often do that. We go to church, we go to Bible study, but is he transforming us? And I think that's kind of what occurred to me, is I just said no, and I'm learning about saying yes. What's wrong with me? So I like the title of Sherry's series about I get it. I think for me, I'm getting it, like it's still in process. But this is not my area of comfort. I have an MFT, marriage and family therapy degree. I'd much rather be in a room with someone, just one other person, and just chatting about their life. But God wants to stretch me, and God wants to stretch us, and he wants to use the journey that we have had to bless and encourage other people. So let's just pray, and then we'll get started. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your love. Thank you that you know us and that you created us and you have such a deep love for us. And we are here to learn and grow, and we just ask you to use this time for your glory and for your honor, and that you would be truly transforming us by what experiences you've put in our life, by the people that are around us, by your word. And we thank you for this time together in your name. Amen. So let's, on your handout, I'm going to go through that, obviously, and there's some fill-ins, and then I'm going to play a song for you a little bit later that kind of has to do with our topic that's been really impacting for me. But first of all, what are some of the ways that you have had to wait? What are some of the things you've had to wait for in life? We're talking about waiting today. I don't know about you, I am not very good at waiting, I think, especially in our culture. We haven't had to wait for a lot of things. We're used to getting things quickly, and I go to dinner, and where's my food? And if you've been to another place, if you've been to Nebraska and gone to a restaurant, it's a little different. How about you guys? What are just some, throw out some things. What have you had to wait for in life? Little things, big things?
Getting pregnant.
Yeah, that's
a big one, huh?
Payday.
Payday?
Test results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Buying a house.
So I think waiting is a big part of life, and oftentimes we're not prepared for it. We don't like it, and you're kind of probably wondering, well, why are you talking about a topic that we hate and we don't like? But I think it's an area that we can grow in. And the definition in the dictionary says an action of staying where one is or delaying action until a particular time or until something else happens. Waiting on God, in the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery, says to anticipate the time that God will act. And I just listed, you know, why waiting stinks. Waiting stinks because we don't expect it. Kind of already mentioned that. One of you said getting pregnant. That was my experience. I was married for 8 years, and we had no children, and I wasn't going to, I didn't want to try to force that. I thought, well, maybe that's not what God wants for us. And then God just out of the blue blessed us with Sophia, and out of the blue blessed us again when we didn't think that was possible. And just as kind of a challenge to you, don't forget your story. I think, you know, at this point in my life, I have 2 kids. They're wonderful. I'm blessed with them. But don't forget where you came from. Don't forget your story of faithfulness. God has been so faithful. And even in the hardest times, we're here and we're following him and we're seeking him. And so many of you in this room have amazing stories of God's faithfulness. So don't forget your story. I think the further away I get from those difficult trials, the easier it is to forget. Journal it, write it down. Try to really keep that in the forefront of your mind, all that God has done. Some families even make, you know, little frames, and they put different things, different experiences, different memories, you know, a hospital band, or, you know, just different mementos to say, God brought us through all of these things, and just to kind of even have it on your wall as a celebration. I think that's kind of a neat thing to do. Waiting impacts us. The first one you probably already got that, but was expect, the first fill-in. The second one, waiting impacts us internally. What do you feel when you realize you're going to have to wait? When you go somewhere and you're not expecting to have to wait, do you have that feeling like you're like, no, this is ruining, this is messing up my schedule? It could be waiting for a child, like we've talked about. It could be, you know, technology. We have to go to use my computer and it's totally frozen or all that stuff. And what do you do when you feel that? I think that's an important thing to be aware of, because you kind of get that panic. You're like, no, this wasn't in my plan. What we feel physiologically, as soon as we realize we're going to have to wait, we have a choice to make. We have choices in big and small things to look around and saying, okay, what am I supposed to learn, even in this? I wasn't planning this. This isn't what I want. But what can I learn, even in this? Waiting impacts us interpersonally sometimes. Sometimes we get short with people because we're irritable, we're frustrated. Or we try to control other people. We try to control or manage or manipulate circumstances to speed things up or to get what we want. And oftentimes, number four, we don't understand. God may wait to give us answers. And we may wonder, why is God allowing me to have to wait? I was blessed to go to the Women of Faith conference recently, and Rick Warren spoke there. And one of the things he said I thought was really powerful, I think I put it on your notes, this quote: there's nothing wrong with asking questions of God. It's what you do when you don't get answers, when we have to wait for answers. He said, the test isn't the circumstance. The test is continuing faithfully without the answers. And so I think that's such an important thing. Questions are good. God wants us to be honest and real with him. But when we don't get the answers that we want or we don't understand, what do we do? Do we just stay in bed for 2 months and try to hibernate? Do we, you know, what do? Do we shut down? Do we distrust? Do we lose hope? Do we walk away from God? I think that, you know, especially all that they've been through, that says a lot, that it's okay to ask questions, but it's what you do when you don't get the answers, and that God is wanting us to continue faithfully, regardless of whether we have the answers that we desire or not. And I've got to be honest, I don't always understand his plans. But I am learning to trust him and to trust his plans. And oftentimes that does include waiting. Most of us want to put waiting in a negative category. And sometimes that can reveal our expectations, that maybe we're expecting something that he hasn't promised us. But I would like to suggest today that it doesn't have to be that way. In the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery, again, it was really interesting to read about what they had to say about waiting. It says the biblical motif of waiting for God is a strongly positive one. Waiting on God is actually a biblical virtue. Have you thought of it that way before? I sure hadn't, that it's a biblical virtue. But if you think about patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And so I'd just like to suggest that waiting is not a negative, number one, but it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to have our expectations realigned. It's an opportunity to have a new, closer relationship with God, because we're having to trust. It's an opportunity to trust that God has a plan. It may be really different from ours. It may be different from what we cooked up. It may be different from what's on our schedule. So he has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. It may not be according to my liking or my preference, but he has the whole kingdom in mind as well, not just your life, not just my life, but he's working on a bigger scale, and he's doing something that sometimes we don't have the answers to, and we may not have the answers to in this life. This Isaiah verse is awesome, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. other translations in a lot of the weighting research that I did, they actually translate weight as trust or hope, which I thought was really powerful. They that hope in the Lord, they that trust in the Lord. I thought that was really interesting. Secondly, we don't wait alone. We don't wait alone. God and others wait with us. God himself waits with us through our journey, through the Holy Spirit. And when we wait with God, it impacts our experience here, the journey, because it's richer, because we're close to him and we want to seek him and we want to trust him in it. And then it also impacts our destination. We're trusting God with our lives, with our eternity. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." I love that song we just sang. Never once has he left us. Never once have we been alone. And that is such a comfort. And also, God has designed community to help us wait. People around you, I don't know if you've ever heard of the expression, Jesus with skin on. But that's kind of what the community of believers is. It's Jesus with skin on. People around us to wait with us, to journey with us. And maybe you're seeking that community. Maybe you're here in this Bible study because you're seeking that community. And I would just challenge you that you get out of it what you put into it. And when the discussion time comes around, if you're not comfortable or you don't know the people around you, you might have a tendency to just kind of like, okay, see you later. But you get out of it what you put into it. Hang around. Ask each other what you learned. Get to know one another. Stony Brook is a great family, a great place to build community and to experience that. So I would just encourage you in that as well. A concept that I really like that I came across really through a song that I'm going to play for you in a little bit is the concept of actively waiting. And certainly there are times when God wants you to wait quietly, and he wants you to be still, and he wants you to do nothing but just listen to him. And then there's other times, I think, when he wants us to be actively waiting. Activity makes waiting easier. Have you ever been somewhere and you're like, oh, I forgot my book, or I forgot that project I was going to work on, or you get on a plane and you realize you didn't, you know, have a magazine or something to do. It's like, oh man, this is going to be hard to do this without activity. I feel that panic sometimes because I value productivity and I want to do something and I want to accomplish something. But unhealthy waiting can lead to disillusionment. If we're waiting and we're really uneasy about it and we're panicking, that can lead to disillusionment. We can feel doubtful. We can feel hopeless because we're maybe not expecting the life that God has promised to us. We have a friend that works for a missions organization, and he travels to many, many different countries of the world. And he was speaking, and he was just talking about how in other countries, people's expectations of God are satisfied just by his promise that he's there. And that's kind of all they're expecting. They expect that he's going to be with them. And I think so often we have expectations of possessions or comforts or different things and happiness. And I think that would be amazing if we could get to that point, right? Where just to know that he's there is all that we need and is enough. We sing about that, we learn about that, but to live that out would be amazing. We all have examples of unhealthy waiting. We have the example of Abraham in the Bible. He waited 24 years to have a son. Do you remember that story? And then he decided God's not doing it, and he decided to, somewhere along that time period, make it work himself. And he found a servant to try to have a son with. So he didn't wait so well, did he? We also have a good example of waiting. David waited 15 years from the time Samuel appointed him to the time he became king over Judah. That's a long time. And then he waited another 7 years until he was anointed the king of Israel. I have a hard time waiting for the microwave. I have a hard time waiting for, you know, all these very, very quick things. But to wait that many years for something is amazing. The sixth graders are doing a faith feast, and they're supposed to wait on God for what they should bring to this feast. And I think that's so neat that the school's, you know, encouraging them to pray about what they're going to bring to their kind of Thanksgiving feast and to wait on God and say, what is he supposed to bring? What does he want me to bring? And they've had many stories in the past of kids who've just prayed about something and said, I only had 6 cups, but I just felt like I was supposed to bring them. And then the other person had the, you know, 24 cups to make it the right amount of cups or whatever. And just to me, that's an awesome thing that even our kids are learning, to be challenged to wait on God. And a small thing and a somewhat insignificant thing, but to see what God can teach them and to see how God can work. I think that's pretty awesome. We're going to play a song now that is by John Waller. It's called While I'm Waiting. I don't know, some of you may have heard this before. The song is okay, but the words are amazing. And I would encourage you, I wrote the words on the back of your paper so that you can follow along. I would encourage you during the song, if you want to, circle some of the things that he encourages us to do while we wait. And then we'll talk about it after it's played.
Thank you.
Tell me your thoughts. What stood out to you? What was impacting? What part of his encouragement to do during waiting was helpful or interesting?
Being peaceful.
It's not easy, is it?
It's not easy. And also to continue to live abundantly while you're waiting instead of just sort of being in a bad mood about it or being glum because you have to wait.
Yeah. I love that. What else?
Keep running the race.
Mm-hmm. Not to give up.
Persevering. Kara, what was that? Oh, to keep running the race.
If you're serving and focusing on something else, then you're not focusing so much on it.
Yeah.
What you're waiting for.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of getting outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right. So easy to get consumed with it and just like let it keep over your life.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
That's a trick, I think, to just wait and be patient and move on. And
mm-hmm.
I think too, like there's a tricky balance between where it says like I'll be running the race even while I wait, because we have to, we're in the world and we're constantly going, and try not to take control of the end result, to be patient in movement. So it's kind of
For sure. And definitely this takes discernment and wisdom, and asking God, which do you want me to do? Do you want me to sit here and be quiet and just shut up and wait for you? Do you want me to just... But I think we all understand not to lose perspective and not to sit there and spin on these things that are troubling us, but to be productive and to continue to actively wait. I think it is kind of an oxymoron, even those two words. But I just think there's so many rich truths in this song about remaining hopeful, being patient, not giving up, keep going, and to serve and to worship. That worshiping is so powerful. You know, how can we be even in our car singing a worship song and spinning and worrying? It's near impossible. So that's a helpful piece of it too. Yeah, and to be peaceful, to be faithful. And even if you're not waiting for something specific, maybe you're in here saying, well, I don't have anything I'm really waiting for. We're all waiting for that perfect eternity. We're all waiting to meet God. We're all waiting for that. And I think we're all probably waiting for something, waiting for a relationship to change, waiting for a person to change, waiting for a circumstance to change. And I would just encourage you, there's some discussion questions when we finish up, but to think about that. What am I waiting for? How does God want me to wait? Am I waiting in a way that's honoring Him right now? Do I need to change anything about the way that I'm waiting? And John Waller explains just his writing of this song. The explanation is simple. I was waiting on God. I was hurting when I wrote the lyrics. It's important to remember that while we're waiting on God, it's not just to wait, but to actively wait. To serve, worship, be faithful with what you have, where you are, even while you wait. And I think we so often look towards the future. If it was just like this, if it was just different. But to be thankful and feel blessed right where we are is super important. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Anne Boskamp, but she wrote a book, 1,000 Gifts. And if you haven't read it, it's a great one just about being thankful. And she was also at the conference that I went to. And she said, don't have regrets about spending time and energy focusing on something you don't have or are waiting for. As long as thanks to God is possible, then joy is possible. Be thankful now where He has you. And her whole premise is that we can have joy in God if we're thankful. And once we have joy, then we have strength. And she has an amazing story of just starting to make a list of 1,000 things she's thankful for. And you can imagine the list is, you know, getting to be more about the little details of life because you're trying to come up with 1,000 things. But just to sit in that posture of thankfulness is such an important way even of worship. And so I would just like you to ask yourself, what are you going to do while you wait? Are you going to make the time worthwhile? Are you going to be impatient? Are you going to complain? Are you going to be faithful? Will you serve others or focus on yourself? And will you worship while you're waiting? I think all of us have experienced waiting for something and it wasn't worth the wait. Like, oh man, I waited all this time for that. I remember in elementary school, I really wanted to shave my legs, and my mom did want to, and I was like, oh, if I could just do that. And now it's like, yeah, we all really look forward to that, right? And the other thing was wearing a bra. I just wanted to wear a bra, you know, in elementary school, and these other friends were wearing a bra, mom. But now those are the two things it's like, really, I can definitely do without those. Or you're in a movie line and you wait a super long time and you get in there and the movie's horrible. That wasn't worth the wait. That's the thing I love about God. Waiting on Him, waiting with Him is always worth the wait. And one day our wait is going to be over. What we've waited for will exceed our expectations. There's not going to be any more disappointment. And God's best for us is always worth waiting for. Even if it seems like He's not doing anything, like Debbie said this morning, He's always up to something. This speaker we heard at Forest Home a couple years ago, he said, something bigger is going on. And always picture it that way. I think so many times we process this world on such a temporal level. Oh, this happened, that happened. When you are forced to wait, think about what's around you. Okay, maybe I'm supposed to do something else. Maybe I thought I was coming here for this. And maybe, you know, I'm supposed to talk to someone while I wait. Or think about it in God's economy and think about what God might have for you in that situation. We have next door neighbors and they are great people, and they love my lemon bars. So one day I made lemon bars and I asked my husband, can you just drop these off next door? I just made these. I know that they like them. He went over there and they were having this huge marital crisis, and he was able to be a blessing to them. And here we thought it was about the lemon bars, you know? But I think just to understand that God is doing so much more than we think, and be faithful. If He says, bring in lemon bars, bring in lemon bars. Even if it's something more serious, more silly or strange that He's asking you to do, like, I'm not really sure why I'm supposed to do this, be faithful, because He has a bigger plan and He's doing something. And it occurred to me that the Christian life is really the ultimate wait. We're waiting for life to begin. We're waiting for eternity. We're waiting for a perfect experience. We're waiting for union with our Creator, with our Savior. I love this Revelation verse at the end. He will wipe every tear from your eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. How amazing, right? How incredible that that is the promise we have. And then the 1 Corinthians 2:9 verse, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. And so I would just encourage you to remember that whatever you have in your life right now that's not perfect, just wait. And that waiting means hoping, and that waiting means trusting, like we talked about earlier. This Romans verse at the end of your outline I love. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this waiting thing well without the Holy Spirit. I certainly can't. I don't have that kind of strength. But when we have the Holy Spirit with us, we can have that hope. He can fill us with joy and peace no matter what. We can trust in Him. And I love just the idea of confident hope. That we're confident and we're hopeful about what God is doing and about our eternity and about the ultimate thing that we're all waiting for is union with Christ and being together forever. I was with my siblings this weekend. I have 5 siblings and we were celebrating a wedding. And at the wedding reception, my sister was just saying, how cool that we get to spend the entire eternity together. We live all over the country and we were, you know, having such a great time enjoying each other. But just to look forward to that. That's the ultimate thing we're waiting for. That's the ultimate amazing blessing that we're all going to be experiencing in Christ. So let's just close in prayer. Lord, thanks for your word and thanks for this time together. I just pray in the next few minutes of quiet that you would bring to mind the things that you want us to give to you, the things that you want us to wait differently about. Lord, as we just spend some time in silence, would you bring to mind something that you would like us to think or be reminded of, or an area where we can wait differently for you, with you? Lord Jesus, we just give you this time to just speak to us now. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you that you're with us and that we can trust you and we can hope in you. And I just pray that you would give us your great wisdom in our lives to know when you want us to serve, when you want us to be silent, when you want us just to be patient. And Lord, we always want to be faithful and worship you and trust you, and we ask you for the strength to do that. We trust you and believe in you and just ask for you to help us in areas where of our unbelief, in areas where we tend to doubt and question. And Lord, we know you're okay with those questions, and you just want us to be able to continue even if we don't always know the answers. We look forward to that day when you're going to make it clear to us what you were doing, what you were up to, how you were working in our lives and we didn't even know. And so we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for the community that we have around us in our lives. We just ask your blessing on each person here in your name. Amen.